Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me today, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, that's Mike Villagrana. Mike, we actually have some football. They're out on the practice field. Fall camp is here.
I know, finally. It goes so fast. It was, you know, one of my buddies was asking me about camp and everything. I was like, I can't believe it's already here. You know, we talk about it every Sunday, but it's finally here. So, you're hearing more national media talk about football rather than all the other stuff that I think everybody's a little tired of talking about. So yeah, it's nice, it's refreshing, and especially this year with, you know, all everything new, you know, with Coach Campbell, all the new players, new staff, just new everything. So it's really exciting buzz, and I've been one to say that I think we're going to have a really good year. I think we're just in the climate right now where people don't know teams to team from year to year. And I think we have an awesome roster that Coach Campbell, Hoosier, and the staff put together. So I'm excited for this year. And now that it's finally here, I'm really excited.
So am I. And it struck me, I saw an article this weekend. It was titled, well, what's the bill in Congress that Save College Sports, I think. Yeah. And the question is, what are we saving it from? And I get what the issues are. I really do. But once they get on the field and start playing, I'm perfectly fine with the game, Mike. I am as excited this year as I was last year and the year before. I am always excited when we get to this point, and the quote-unquote problems, I kind of forget about them once they get on the field.
Yeah, 100%. Like I always say, I always steal it from another show, but they always say it's idiot-proof, right?
Like, yes.
But we're trying to figure out how to screw it up, but – like you said, when September 5th comes and rolls around, we don't care about any of that, especially this year, because like, regardless of what people think about the schedule, whether, you know, it's a ton of good games, high marquee games or not, like I'm excited. I don't care who we roll out there against. Like I'm excited to see the identity come to fruition and everybody see like, oh, this is the Matt Campbell era. Right, that's what I'm excited about, regardless if it's Marshall or Ohio State, that first game. Like, I'm excited this year, and I think fans should be excited. Like, versus, like, last year and the last probably couple years is everybody's just riding and dying off of, like, one or two games, right? And that sucks. You know, and that's the expectation. That's a good thing and a bad thing. But I'm excited for every single game this year. To see the type of team that we're going to roll out, not just for this year, but, you know, this year is an important year for Matt Campbell to kind of put his stamp on the identity and what he wants his football team to look like, specifically here at Penn State. I think you're going to see a lot of similarities to Iowa, but I just see him and us coming out with like a bullish type of attitude. When it comes to football programs, probably some of those teams that we watched back in the day with Joe Pa, you know, me growing up, 42 years old, you know, so early 2000s, late 90s was when kind of you knew Penn State when they were coming on the field. They were going to get bullied, right? And they had those type of players. So I'm excited to see what the identity of this team is going to be, and maybe it won't be that, but I think it will definitely have a different look than it has in the past. Defense, a lot of people love talking about offense and us stretching the field and our three running backs, our three to four tight ends, or, you know, all of that. And that's fun. But, like, a lot of people, like, don't talk about D-Lin. And like, that is a massive change to have him come back in the defense and everything. From what I'm hearing, the defense is a little bit more simplified so these guys can play fast. We have the dudes on that side of the ball. So I'm excited to see the defense, right? And then, you know, obviously a lot of people don't talk about special teams, but we're really fortunate to keep Stig as our special teams coordinator and him being one of the best in the country. So all three phases, I'm excited. But also I do still like talking about all the nonsense, right? The Bill, they tried rushing, and then they didn't get signed by Tuesday night because then everybody goes on recess until September. And it's like, well, dude, with something so important like this, did you really want them to rush something? Like, isn't that the problem? Like, why we're in this situation? We've rushed things and we didn't really think things out, calculated. Hey, if we do this, this might happen. Like, I think that's a big reason why we're in this position to start with. I don't know how you feel, Jim.
Well, yeah, to just hit on that a little bit, it does seem like they tried to bite off more than they could chew. There were so many aspects to that bill. Why not take the things that I think everybody or most everybody would agree to and just get that through? You know, the one free portal move, that kind of thing that I think everybody would be on board with, but they're trying to be, you know, get everything fixed, and it just doesn't work well that way. But back to the games itself, I'm with you in that there's such a mystery to this team. A year ago, if you recall, we were so surprised about so many players coming back, and number two in the country to start the season. And, you know, the out-of-conference games, all they could be was a disappointment, you know. If they look crisp, look great, who cares? They're the number two team in the country playing whoever. But this year, they start the season with Marshall. By the way, that game has now been announced as the stripe-out game. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that stuff. I kind of like it. It's kind of audience participation, you know? The fans feel like they're a part of the show a bit.
Yeah. So this is where I'm at with this, and this is kind of interesting just for me. My personal journey is kind of going through the ranks and through college sports and being a recruiting, you know, personnel guy. I've always been on the field. I played, obviously. Like, I became desensitized to the actual game day. Like by the time game day comes, the past couple of years, it's been – I just want to sit back and watch the game.
Yeah.
Right? I've been standing the whole game. I'm old. I'm taller. My leg I'm always stretching. And you don't have a good angle. I'm a guy that I like to be at one end zone. Like, so if something's going on in the opposite end zone, really can't see, and then you're looking at the Jumbotron. And you know what? Hell, I'd rather be in my freaking office or watching the TV copy. But now that I'm kind of have like, you know, it's a different role. You know, I'm one foot in, I'm kind of one foot out with the NIL space. Now I'm starting to miss that a little bit more. And I guess as I'm getting older, I kind of like, I cherish that a little bit more. The team arrival, the tailgating here scene is just, I always say it's unbelievable. It's one of the best in the country, if not the best tailgate scene. The blue band coming out, like, now all that stuff, yeah, now the stripe out. Like, I'm pretty jacked about it. But, yeah, long story short, I used to not be so jacked up about that stuff, but now I get pretty excited, especially with my kids, to be able to see that stuff too.
Well, it changes the tone of the crowd, I believe, you know, a little more into it. Like I said, they're sort of part of it. I'm excited, too, that the opener, an out-of-conference game, is at 3:30, okay? Which, by the way, Mike, is the best time for a game. The best time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As an old man who has to drive home, you know, the night games are very cool, under the lights. But, man, driving home at 1 a.m., no, I'm not too excited about that. And that's, again, me being an old man. The noon game, you don't have enough time to tailgate. So 3:30 is just that right perfect timing, plenty of tailgating time, 3:30 game, done at 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm home in my Barca lounger by 9 or 9:30 watching the late games.
Yeah, like that's clutch. I think it works for all. It depends on what, like, when you get old, probably you want to like fall asleep, whatever. But for the young, like, playing wise, it's the best because you don't feel rushed in the morning, right? And you don't feel like your night is going to get screwed up. So you and the boys can still plan, you know, hopefully a really cool celebration, get together after the game. And you still have time, especially with those guys. Those guys stay up late. They don't start, you know, pre-gaming or whatever, what they call it now, till like 10 when we're like. Right? So it works out for the younger generation. And like you said, it works out great for us because then we get to go home and watch the late games, which is usually a prime time game on.
Exactly. And
but now, you also get a little bit of that night effect, depending on the time of year. In Beaver Stadium, which is beautiful always. I agree 100%. 3:30 is great. I'll never forget being Mississippi State. And then one year we weren't very good, so they put us all in the bad time at 11 a.m.
Geez. Yeah. Now, is Mississippi, was that Central Time Zone?
Yeah. So that was Central Time.
Okay, so that's why 11 instead of noon.
Yeah. So it was brutal.
here's the other thing. For the opener, seeing all these new players coming in too is part of it. I mean, hey, we're all dying to see Rocco back. You know, we're dying to see, you know, Brommer and Burkle and Hansen. All of these new players coming in from Iowa State, and I think what adds to it a little bit, Mike, for you and I, well, for me, you get exposure to these players, but these events we've been holding during the summer, you know, hey, we got a chance to talk to Zay Robinson. I'm that makes me more anxious to see him play. You know, when he hits the field, I'm going to be, hey, there's Zay. I talked to him. He was very cool. You know, want to see what he could do. Now, when we come back, though, have you seen the point spread yet for the Penn State Marshall game?
No, I haven't, but I like playing this game.
I do, too. When we come back, Mike, I am going to, now, no cheating, okay? No cheating between segments and looking it up.
Yeah.
When we come back, I'm going to get you to guess what the point spread is. We're going to do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with the head, Mr. Executive Director of HVU. That's Mike Villagrana, quarter number two of our show. And Mike, when we left, we were talking about the opener, Penn State, Marshall. It's Marshall, I know. I'm still very excited about it. And I think part of it is all the new players. As you pointed out, it's now the Matt Campbell regime. Going to see how he calls plays. Even something as simple as, will he look to run up the score? We know James Franklin did. And I swear James Franklin knew what the point spread was. Because late in the games, it seemed like he was always going for that one extra score to beat the spread. I could be wrong, but that's what it felt like. That's my way of segueing into it. There is a point spread out for this game. Mike, you tell me what it is. You haven't seen it yet. Let's see how good you are at setting the point spread.
I will say 15 and a half.
You know, I would have probably said more like 17 or 18, but I, does that surprise you?
Say it again real quick.
Okay. 24 and a half points.
Okay. This is also the fun time for the gamblers, because especially now, like, a lot of people don't know these rosters year to year. And so they're figuring out, Vegas is still figuring it out at the beginning of the year too. So you can probably get some good lines if that's what you're looking for. If you're trying to gamble, the best time to gamble is the beginning of the year of college football, because people really don't know. Like I said, the polls that come out, the thing's going to look completely different by the end of the year. Yeah, and it does every year. You know what I mean? Other than like maybe a couple of the usual customers up top, but yeah. It's gonna be interesting, but you know, like I said, you know what, spread or no spread, like I'm just excited to see this team roll out, and I'm like excited to see him against Marshall, because I was at Marshall for a year, and so Tony Gibson was my defensive backs coach when I was at West Virginia. And he's one of my all-time favorite coaches. Just like a really good dude. Like he's a perfect fit for Marshall. Blue collar guy, great family. Rod Smith is the quarterbacks coach. He was the quarterbacks coach when I was at West Virginia my last year. Bob McLean's the offensive line coach. Like he was my, he was an assistant offensive line coach when I was at West Virginia. Gunnar Brewers, the tight ends. He recruited. Moss back in that day. Great dude. And that just along the line. And then the strength coach Deej, who was at Virginia Tech with me, is now at Marshall. And one of my recruiting guys is there now. So a lot of connections there. Plus, like, I think everybody that doesn't know Marshall has a really cool history. You know, it doesn't have the Penn State history, obviously, coming up from the FCS. That building that they work out of is still the FCS building that they had. So there's just a lot of blue collar. That town, it's really cool. It's got its really nice little pockets. Great food, honestly. Like, honestly, really good food. But it's a little rough, too. I remember going to work, I stop at a Sheetz and get my coffee. And, you know, it's just bad. It's bad with addicts and stuff. We used to call them zombies, but just a very blue collar area. The fan base is, you know, blue collar. I love the fan base. So I think they're going to really enjoy visiting Penn State. And I think vice versa, I think Penn State will enjoy the Marshall fans, but I guess I could see that. Who knows what's going to happen. Right. I have no idea. Like I heard something that I saw a headline that Texas might, it might be an absolute like crushing of Ohio State first game. Like, how do you see that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see that at all.
No. You exactly that. Those kind of snap judgments, and you know, I see, especially when there's a high point spread, you know, over 20 points. Some of it is just does a team, like I mentioned, I think James Franklin, like to beat the spread. Okay. And again, I keep saying that I have no knowledge that he even cares about the spread, but it seemed he did not mind running up the score. And so we don't know. Go ahead. You look like you were ready to respond to that.
I just think the head coaches and the high end donors, like they gamble, right? Especially in this time of year. And like, I'm sure there's a lot of like, you know, quick, like as you're passing by, hey, James, +7, or, you know, like, like little shots, like, hey, remember what the spread is. And so like, it's natural. They probably hear it. So if they can cover the spread for maybe a potential donor that's on the fence, they give 50 mil. probably
spread. Well, and it's also like a measurement of success. You know, if we saw it last year, yeah, where I don't think Penn State played well in the out-of-conference. They were winning games by 30, 35 points, and the spread was 38, you know.
Yeah, they were are ugly ones.
Yes. And I think that's one of those things that a coach could point towards also. It's, hey, we beat the spread. We met expectations or we exceeded them. And again, I don't think they're necessary, like you mentioned. I'm sure they want to make their fans happy who are more likely to bet on them than to bet on the opponent. So I can see that. What I find interesting is when you said about Texas taking it to Ohio State. Well, first of all, I always think of Ohio State as, by default, one of the most talented teams in the country. Okay? Right. Just they are. Every year in the last probably decade and a half. So I never think anyone is ever going to blow out Ohio State, okay? Just, you know, just not going to happen. But when you see a game like this with the Penn State, when the spread's that high, it's not about do you beat the spread or not. Well, let me ask you. You're the expert. You know more than I do. What are you looking for in that kind of game where there's no doubt Penn State is expected to win the game, expected to win the game handily? What are you looking for with this entirely new coaching staff, new team? What are the things that you're going to look to say, boy, if they do this, I'll be happy?
I wouldn't say as much as, like, I'm going to be happy. I'm just more like the identity, seeing like it real time, finally, not practice. You know, what's the rhythm of the offense, the personnel? How's he going to use it? How's he going to mix and match things, especially at the beginning, because he's not going to throw out his entire arsenal. He's going to set up a lot of his personnel and his formations for the rest of the season. So how he does that offensively, you know, how Rocco looks, how does the offensive line look together? Is there a rotation? Is he keeping five strong? I know there's, you know, that a lot of people with that and the defensive line, you know, what kind of rotation is there? I always like in between series. If I'm like on the sideline or I'm able to see the sidelines, what's the interaction between the coaches and the players? How's that communication from the top down? And then they go over and talk to the players. What's the vibe like? You get a certain vibe by just like coaches, staff, and players' demeanor on the sideline. I always like that, looking for that, like whether it's good or not. Obviously, with the new team and Coach Campbell, I'm sure that's going to be off the charts. It's going to be a great vibe on the sidelines. Also, I'm looking to see, like, all right, what kind of dude is Coach Campbell going to be on the sidelines, right? Like, you can expect all of his assistant coaches to kind of be kind of really younger, energetic, crazy type of competitive. which will be great for the players. But how's Matt Campbell going to be? Like, what kind of leader is he going to be on the sideline? Looking forward to that. You know, some of those, you know, the critical plays, like, or like third down decisions, fourth and short decisions. Like those you look for, like, okay, you know, those are always fun trick plays, like all of that stuff. Like the total picture, I guess, Jim, is like what I'm looking for, and I'm excited to see defensively, offensively, special teams. I'm looking forward to seeing all that. Like how many people are rotating? Gosh, like we just talked about it off air. Last year we thought we had an issue with how deep and talented our tight end room is. This year we have two guys on the Mackey Awards watch list, and the other one is, you know, I call him
might be the best.
He might be the best one. So yeah, like how's he gonna mix and match these guys and make sure that they're staying happy? And I guess that probably goes against what Coach Campbell and culture, like everybody being happy, because it doesn't matter. It's like whatever the offense, you know, or the defense gives you. But I'm excited to see the ball in the air, right? I think that's a big emphasis that we've heard about. I think Coach Mauser told Chris Buchanani that he will have a couple fullback dive plays in for him.
Yep.
So I'm excited for it all because it's also uncertain, unknown. You know, who knows what they're saving, all of that. I'm really looking forward to.
Well, let me give you the couple things, and you hit on a couple of them, but I want to see how disciplined they are versus being sloppy. You know, the penalties where they're on defense, they're jumping off sides, or with the offensive line, if there's a breakdown, not if someone gets beat and there's a sack, but if you see two guys blocking one defender and another defender comes in free because it was obviously a missed assignment, those kind of things. The other one, and you,
those things will kind of, you almost give it a pass somewhat because it's a game, it's game one, but you still want to look pretty disciplined and tight with all the things that are controllables, right? The things you can control, offsides, onsides,
right?
You know, some penalties like that. Like, you can control that, and a lot of that has reflects your culture and what you've been practicing and everything. So I'm with you 100% on that. Always looking forward to seeing that. But if I had to guess, it's going to – you know what? I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to – I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, those things do happen, but you don't want it happening regularly, okay? One mistake is fine. You don't want too many. When we come back, I'm going to give you the other thing I'm going to be looking for right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, the head of HVU Insider. Mike, we were talking about what we're looking for in this first game coming up against Marshall. And isn't it so cool to be talking about a game? This is the best. This is the best. But we're talking about things we were looking for. I mentioned, you know, I don't want the team to be sloppy. It doesn't mean zero penalties, but let's limit those. Let's not see too many of those. The other thing I want to look at is third down execution. Last year, in the out-of-conference games where we didn't think the team looked sharp, and it was an indicator of what was to come, I felt like there were third down plays. It's third and three, and someone would run the wrong route, or Drew would miss an open receiver. You miss an open receiver on first down, you can make up for it. You can't make up for missing a receiver on third down. So are you executing on third down? Keep drives going. To me, that's a huge indicator of how a team is performing, Mike.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I know fans, they don't have a lot of patience for, like, back-to-back drives that are penalty-driven, right? You get a positive play, but it gets held back because of a holding penalty, right, or a false start or something like that. Yeah, that will drive us crazy. So, hopefully we can avoid that because I think from a lot of the fans out there, we have a little PTSD from last year because I just feel like every Sunday after a game, even after the wins, Jim, like it just felt like when you talked about the offense, it was like there's just never any rhythm. Right. And that's frustrating as a fan, especially when you know you have talent out there. So when you never get in a rhythm and the line looks sloppy and the running backs don't know doesn't look like they know where to hit the holes or patience or drop balls, penalty, that stuff will drive us crazy. But hopefully we won't see that. I think there's, like I already mentioned, some of that is just natural at the beginning, maybe some nerves, getting used to playing under the lights with, you know, all of these new guys. But yeah, the less of that we see, the more positive things that we'll probably see in the future as the offense and the defense roll out their plans for the year. But I think that's going to be a big thing, especially with culture being such a big word with Coach Campbell and the staff. Like culture usually, and he, another big word has been accountability in the yeah. building. And he even has like all these different types of teams to promote accountability. And you've heard some players even talk about it. Well, that accountability that he holds them from on and off the field usually translates to the controllable penalties, like being able to avoid them, right? Usually those teams with good cultures, literally like that, they avoid those controllable penalties, right? Especially the dumb ones, like a late hit or something like that.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, I'm really looking forward to it. It's almost like last year, like no matter how well we did, like there was probably going to be some nitpicking. You know, this year, yeah. I don't know if it's like that. Hopefully it isn't. But I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with the offense because I don't know, when's the last time we had like an offense that just put up points after points? Like, I just remember from my experience here with Joe Moorhead, like he put up a good amount of points, probably 30 yes. a game. He had fun offense, the RPO and Trace. Like that was fun, right? Like, so I think we could have the same type of deal with Rocco and all these weapons that we have on offense. But at least we have Coach Mauser doing it because after interviewing him and getting to know him, he's easy to root for.
And I'll tell you what, also after talking to Coach Mauser and looking at the offensive weapons, as you just mentioned, you know, let's talk about some of the things that are being talked about from practice this first week of it on offense. And this is something for us to look to. We've talked about this. There's three good running backs. Okay. There's what, three, four good tight ends. Yep. We always talk about the wide receivers. I think a big question is going to be at wide receiver. You know, we always talk about Penn State fans have PTSD about the wide receiver room. I think you've got it in Chase Soule and Eskelson, you know, two guys that have a high floor. They're going to be pretty good. But is there more depth behind it? Is it going to be Kobe Howard? But the other part to this equation, Mike, is if you're playing multiple tight ends, you can't play more than two wide receivers. Or are we going to see more than one running back on the field at the same time? I'm real curious how that's going to work, Mike.
Yeah, it's the same conversation we had last year, right? It's just different kids. We had talent. We had two NFL running backs, right? And we had, you know, the talented room that we did at the tight end room. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they use them because I know those running backs, they're all of them are versatile, especially Q. I think when it comes to the passing game, he's going to be able to help out. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting with Chase, like you said, Eskelton, aka White Shadow. It seems like all reports are kind of just confirming that Kobe Howard is having a good offseason or a good fall camp so far in the first couple practices. The one guy that came up was Amarian Jackson, who seems like he's kind of creeping up there. That might be a name to watch out for. And then Zay Robinson, who we interviewed, who, you know, we always say he kind of reminds me of at least body type of KJ Hamler. He's probably actually a little bit bigger than KJ. KJ's a little guy. But Zay seems like he's had a pretty good couple days so far. Between all those guys, like, they're long too. So it's going to be interesting to see how that room evolves. I think everybody's looking for that to see how that is, right? It's going to be interesting. But I think we have solid, like, three at least probably right now. You have Soule, you have Eskelson, and you have Kobe Howard probably are going to be the definitely first three guys in the rotation. And then how does Amarian Jackson continue to develop and creep up in the rotation and Zay Robinson and those guys. But, like, you're right. Like, do you want one of those guys on the field, or do you want one of the tight ends on the field? Do you want all three running backs on the field? Interesting thing that I heard about James Peoples was his footwork was very noticeable. And this kind of goes back and reminded me of something that I told you, I think, a couple weeks ago. I was like, to me, he's the most natural running back out of those three. Like, he is a, like, all-around, like, stud to me. And that's nothing against Q or Carson, because they're studs in their own rights. I just think James Peoples has probably the biggest upside when it comes to, you know, his ceiling and maybe, you know, what he ends up being when he leaves, by the time he leaves, because he's still young. So James Peoples has always been somebody really interesting to me. And that's nothing against Q or Carson, because I obviously love those guys too. I just think he could be a difference maker when it's all said and done.
And that's the part of it too, is there's three running backs who you feel like deserve playing time. There's at least three tight ends that you feel that way about. So how do you mix and match them? And, well, again, I'll ask you, with your background, what does that create as far as mismatches? What's the difference between playing multiple running backs, multiple tight ends, or having three wide receivers on the field, Mike? What are you forcing the defense to look at when you do those things?
It's a pain in the butt for defenses. Just because they got somebody upstairs looking for personnel, so they can call out the personnel to the defense coordinator. So the defense coordinator, based off that personnel, can then roll out the set of plays that he has underneath of that certain personnel. Well, it's a pain in the butt. That's why you see a lot of guys, when you have timeouts before they hit the field, it's not just that personnel. It's an entire offense, and usually and some people around there, because they don't want the guy from upstairs to be able to identify the personnel. So when you are multiple, that adds another layer, because it's just not like they're trying to be phony and block the, you know, the normal 12 or 21 personnel they have in there. You don't know what the hell they might roll out. 32 personnel, 14 personnel. So that is a pain in the butt for defenses. Especially as you prepare, not only as you prepare for the week and you're watching game film and what they could potentially throw out at you, you know, but during the game, it's a pain, because they might come out and say, like 11 personnel and 2x2, and you have all our wide receivers out there, right? They might go out in that same formation the next week, but it might be just all the tight ends, just like they say, just like. Who was it? Gabe Urkel told us in the interview.
Yes.
So that sucks as a D coordinator. That's a pain, and you like that. You like the fact that we're going to be multiple like that. But to what extent, and what I'm excited to see this offense for four quarters and see how they roll out versus Marshall. Marshall and Gibby's a defensive guy. He was the D coordinator at NC State. For a while, did really well. He's a defensive guy. So they're going to play. They're going to be salty on D. So I think this is a really good matchup for us. Obviously, we should beat them. Vegas thinks we should beat them. But I think, you know, we're not getting a bunch of guys that are going to come in here and lay down. Like, that's just not who Gibby is and Marshall type of player. So I think this is a really good test for us, especially as a first match or first game for the Matt Campbell era and for the offense and the defense to get a good test and test out what they want to try to roll out for the rest of the season.
Well, I like it better that I know 24 points is a pretty big spread, but we were seeing games where there's a 40, 45-point spread. And, you know, yeah, that's no test at all for anybody. Yeah.
And you know what? What came out the past couple of days, to me, is most interesting. We talked about it a lot last week, maybe last 2 weeks, was the backup quarterback, right? And what's that going to look like? And Alex Mansky sounds like he's the man, right? He came out there for the first time off his injuries, able to compete. You didn't hear him talk a lot. I think he most recently, maybe the last month, was his first time he was available to the media. So all reports are saying, like, he's the backup.
You know, I want to ask you more about Alex Mansky, and we're going to do that, Mike, right after this break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim, he's Mike. It's quarter number four of our show. Mike, I think you're reading my show notes, okay? Because right up next, and I don't know if you can see this on the screen or not, you see what I have written there? Alex Mansky. I wanted to ask you about him. And that was some question going into the fall that there, Mansky was out all spring. It was a mystery ailment. We don't know what it was. It almost makes it sound like it was something off the field. Maybe even he was sick, whatever. They haven't made it public, which is fine. The important thing is he's back and playing, and it's only been a couple of practices, but everything has been so positive what we're hearing about him.
Yeah, it seemed like I told you what Trace kind of like had his evaluation on Mansky before he had left for the NFL ranks, and it was one of his favorites. I took a peep at his film. I liked his film, but always, as if we talk about the quarterback position, you just never know what you got until they get in your program and they're actually under the lights. So Mansky was somebody that I think everybody talked very highly of, but you just didn't see him. And so, you know, this is a game of what have you done for me lately? And so he could easily get passed up, especially as, you know, we hit in fall camp. But the fact that he, you know, came out first time since being a Penn Stater and is able to throw it around now and he looks the par, kind of tells you, okay, we feel pretty good about a backup quarterback position now. I think he's still splitting reps a little bit, but I think it, you know, that's just a matter of the first practices. But as this thing continues, like we said, we wanted to pay attention to this fall camp. I think we're going to see Alex Mansky, you know, barring any kind of injury or anything like that, he'll end up being our solid backup.
And as you've indicated before, he's essentially trying out for the starting quarterback job next year in 27.
Yeah, in every program, the backup, the backup is kind of like a very highly pressured position in today's game, because if you have the quarterback, right, you're not the starting quarterback, all right, well, what are you going to do? You're interviewing for that backup position to be the guy next year, and you're basically, every day you're telling the staff, hey, you don't need to go get a portal guy because look what I can do, right? I can be the guy. Right. So it's a huge position. Like, yeah, you just can't sit back and like collect a check. They got to work. And then, you know, there's obviously the, you know, the ugly side of it. And I don't think it's the ugly side of it. It's just the business side of it. It's like, well, if you're not going to be that backup, I probably got to go to the portal if I want to play. Right. So that's just the constant turnover and the landscape of that position specifically. But back to Mansky. Excited about him. You know, I think he seems like a very personal, good-looking kid, a fan. He's going to be very – I think the fans are going to really like him as they get to know him. But that's exciting that he's the backup as of right now. Plus, you have all the other guys. I'm excited to see how our man Falzone turns out. A lot of back and forth about what's he going to turn out by the end of his career going into his senior year. I've had – people hit me up about him from other schools. Hey, what position is he going to play? Right. So I'm excited to see him evolve. at that position, if that ends up being his position too, because you have the young buck too, Case Evans, who's like more of a natural quarterback. So to see that kind of play out between those two is going to be interesting too. But I guess that's, I don't know, maybe going too deep into it. A lot of other people probably really don't care about the third, fourth string guy like I do.
Well, but it is a projection, especially now when there's so much movement. It is a projection of what you're going to see in the future. And, you know, getting back to Mansky for a second, if the coaching staff comes out of this camp saying, okay, I feel good about our quarterback position for next year, you know, it's one less thing to worry about. And that's the best case scenario for Penn State. There was also something, of course, Matt Campbell met with the media. And it's always amazing to me how the media could take, you know, like one sentence in the entire interview and press conference and make an entire article out of it.
100%.
I'm going to cherry pick too. One thing that he talked about was and his theory that I don't know what the exact word he was, but it was like forcing personnel into doing what you, well, this is the style of play we do. This is how we play. We'll make the players fit that. You're an idiot if you do that. I don't know if idiot was the word or not, but he talked about adapting the way you play to the personnel you have, which I think is being a smart coach, but it kind of circles back to the conversation we had about having multiple tight ends, multiple running backs that you feel like could be on the field. I like that as a head coach, he's saying, you know what? We'll adapt the offense to fit the guys that we have here.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. I think the most productive offenses in the last decade, that's something that you hear come up from those successful offenses, right? They have a ton of talent. Right. But then the coordinators and the head coaches that are adaptable and aren't stubborn, right, and don't have this ego, right, they adapt to the players. And it's funny you brought it up because, you know, our friend Chris Buchanani, I think he posted something the other day about that. Like, you adapt to who you have, right? So, like, in recent past for Penn State, like, you adapt differently to a Trace McSorley versus you don't run the same offense with Drew Allar, right? Like, you adapt to that in the weapons that you have on offense. So yeah, that's awesome. I think we talk a lot about the offense, but on the defense, you have, you know, the thing going on with the defensive end, and, you know, trying to, you know, test some guys out, playing linebacker and defensive end. Ava Bacon's who I'm talking about. I think that's interesting.
Again, you're reading my notes, Mike. You're reading my notes.
Yeah, we just know each other. We should do this every day.
But I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be the segue. It sounds like defensively, the word, and I love this word, lots of syllables in it. Multiplicity, looking at players who could do multiple things. And Caleb Bacon is the name that came up, who, and then remember, LeVar Arrington made the official move from linebacker to defensive end. It doesn't sound like necessarily it's a permanent, this is all he's going to do, but the fact that he could do multiple things, when you see that, you know, a linebacker, Caleb Bacon, moving, getting reps on the line, what does that tell you about him as a player, about the depth at the position, and how difficult is that transition?
I think for the defensive end linebackers, he's already playing outside of the box as a Sam, so it's somewhat natural for him to get on the line. You know, he's already had, you know, he's done blitzes and stuff like that from off the line to being on the line. I think that's a little different from when you say you move a guy from defensive end to interior. To me, that's a whole nother different game. So I think it's more natural for Caleb and his position to be able to be multiple like that, which just multiplicity, right? That gives you more options. that makes it harder on the offense to prepare for different looks that you may present to them. It's the same thing that we're talking about Mauser being multiple and having all these different looks, right? If the defense can do that, but also keep it simple, you know, who knows how well this defense can play, you know. In history's past, Penn State has always had a salty defense, always, right? I don't see it being any different. And what I really am excited about is, like, when you look, when you start from the back end, you're looking at the safeties, the corners, the starters to maybe the third and fourth guy is really good. Like, really good, right? Like, you have Darius Dixon and Octavius Collins at the corner positions, but you have Josh Johnson and Jameer Joseph, who were just freshmen last year, who flashed in games. Right. So they're one more year developed and as the backups. And then you have, which I think is the really exciting, is the nickelback position, kind of that position that I think D Lane's using as being a multiple, like the honey badger, as back in the day when he was playing for LSU, he was all over the damn field. I think that's what this nickelback position is going to be. And it's going to cause issues with offenses because they're going to have to prepare for looks. That is just, it may not be that much of a different look, but it's just one guy that's all over the field. So Zion being that guy, Jeremiah Cooper, who's coming off of an injury, who's going to be ready hopefully by game one, but he's an all Big 12 guy. And then you have Xavier Thomas, who also flashed as a true freshman last year at that position. And then safety, you have Marcus Neal, who's a big, big name. And then Omarion Davis, who's the BC transfer, who we interviewed for one of our shows. So there's just so much depth there. I feel great about the linebacker position. What I think will make this elite is the interior. How that interior is able to hold up and not get pushed around is going to be huge. If we could push around people on that defensive line interior-wise, I think we have a shot to be super special because everything else will fall in place, right? Especially if, like, we get a bunch of cover sacks. I can see this defense being really special. I'm just excited about seeing them as the offense.
Well, going back to, again, one of our interviews with the players, and I thought was a fascinating quote, was Cam Smith, the linebacker, and I was asking him about the size of the tackles. You know, they're bringing in some big guys. And he essentially said, yeah, I wasn't sure what was going on with that till we started spring camp. And I realized, oh, they're going to clog things up. And we as linebackers are going to be allowed to be more aggressive. Our first step will be forward, not back. I found that fascinating and something to really look for, too, early in the season.
Yeah. And the guy that just keeps popping up is Armstrong. When you look at him, he looks like a square. He's huge, right? Just a massive, and he's not fat, and he's just a massive, strong dude. I know he was, reported that, he's not trying just to be that strong brute, right? He's also trying to add to his skill set, which is really, that could be really scary if he puts it all together.
It will be lots of fun. I'm even more excited now after the show than I was when we started. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.